Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400 plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
Philip, I have a question for you. Do you have an iPhone?
I do. I happen to have an iPhone.
Could you check if there is any text that you haven't answered?
I know where this is going. You have jogged my memory.
I did text you that I needed to ask you something. I wanted to talk to you about something. I'm just happy it wasn't a heart attack because I would be dead.
I deeply apologize. When you specifically ask that we talk about something, I'm really good about getting back. I actually think it came when I was at Mass or in the confessional, and I forgot. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's fine.
This is the confessional. We're set up here in separate rooms for COVID reasons, and this is like a confessional.
Very good. So here we are, two guys and a gospel. I'm listening to a podcast that it's two people I like, and he says his name, she says her name, and they say together the name of the podcast. Can we try this?
We could try it.
This is Father Ricardo.
Father Philip.
And this is
Two Guys and a Gospel.
I think we did fine. Two Guys and a Gospel, and we are discussing the gospel for the third Sunday in Easter.
Yeah, so I'm going to read from Luke chapter 24, verses 35 to 48.
Like it happened last week that we always read the same gospel. We always read the same gospel as well.
The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things."
So I kind of made a mistake, so let me be a little bit more precise. We are in year B in the cycle of readings, and we are reading the Disciples of Emmaus. Emmaus is one of the most difficult words for me to pronounce in English of the whole of the New Testament. In year A, we read the story of Emmaus, but the whole story. Here we stopped when Jesus tells them, "You are witnesses of these things." And then year A, we would read the whole of the story of Emmaus. Year C, we read John's Gospel, a passage from John's Gospel. What fascinated me this time that I didn't realize before is to read the Gospel we read last week with the Gospel we are reading now. And you see some elements that are in common that I don't think I had ever seen before. It's a community, smaller, They are afraid also. They don't recognize Jesus. Jesus comes in their midst also. Even the language is very similar. So I'm amazed that I had never seen it before. You know what I mean?
Right. And the joy that's present there as they meet the Lord Jesus. These are from two different Gospels, and I'm not, you know, this is an imagination, so I'm not saying this is a case. But it's interesting listening to last week's Gospel and this one to think, okay, these are the same people now out of the room, in a sense, you know, that they're connected to that upper room and outside of it.
Out of the room, but in the wrong direction, right?
Right.
Because Jesus has told them to stay in Jerusalem until they receive the Holy Spirit, and they are going the other way, as we know in the story of Emmaus. When we are faced with that story, I always say the same thing. These disciples do not leave the community. They don't leave Jerusalem when they hear that Jesus has been killed. They leave when they have heard that rumors about the resurrection. And I think that's what this community had a difficulty also.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, I think you're exactly right about that. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because if you follow someone who dies, this is like, I'm thinking about the Che Guevara, you know who Che was? Mm-hmm. Che Guevara, the Cuban Revolution. He dies and then he becomes a hero to the Communist Party. Mm-hmm. But you die, you are a hero, fine. But coming back from the dead, that takes this to a whole different ballpark,
right?
And I think that's what happens. How do you follow someone who's come back from the dead? You know?
Right, right.
Yeah. Here I give a break to the disciples. I mean, come on. Yes, he told us a million times that he was going to come back from the dead, but now he does. How do you figure that out?
Yeah, and that means, yeah, we really do have to change our lives. And that's what's, in a sense, fun about the Easter season, especially the early part of it, as we're seeing right now in the Gospels. You see this all getting figured out. It's kind of messy. It's kind of, you know, we have these little interactions going on here as we're figuring out what this all means and dealing with that incredible news, incredibly good news.
Mm-hmm. Some people say, and let me look, you know, as you can see, I'm struggling with my glasses because I broke my bifocals.
Oh.
Then I don't see, even though we have the gospel printed in very large font, I don't see everything. There is one of these fascinating sentences, statements in the gospel today. They recognize him in the breaking of bread, which obviously is speaking about the Eucharist. And sometimes we don't reflect about this enough.
And that's from the beginning of the Emmaus story, as Jesus accompanies them and goes to their home, and we kind of pick up here. But so I wonder about the identity of the two disciples here. How connected are they to the church? Are these apostles? Are these people we know? It's a little unclear who it is. Are they named ever?
Well, in the first part that we don't read this year, we read in year A, it says that one of them named Clopas.
Okay.
And some people have suggested that this is a variation of Peter's name. So,
yeah.
So yes, in answering to you, they say that one of them could be Peter himself.
Right.
So it's clearly the case that these two disciples are leaving Jerusalem. They encounter Jesus. They don't recognize him. Then they do at the breaking of bread. And then they come back and they have become missionaries. They have become announcers of the good news. And isn't that a good pattern for us also? As we struggle as Christians also, we recognize Jesus in the Eucharist and we go out then as true disciples.
With what we're called to do, perhaps among the most powerful words in all the Gospels are that last line here, you are witnesses. You are witnesses of these things, and the implication then is you go out and you tell others. And that's, St. Paul's going to do that so well. He's going to say, I witnessed this, and this is why I'm telling you this, and to spread the good news. But that's what's happening here with these two disciples. They're just incredible and really do some really amazing work, even if we don't have all the details of specifically who they are.
It's a very interesting concept also to realize that the word witness is mainly used in John's gospel, but in this tradition now they come to the same conclusion. You are witnesses of this. And aren't we supposed to be witnesses of this also with what we do especially and what we say and what we, our behavior, our choices, to witness Jesus Christ to others? That's the key to discipleship, right? A word that we use so much these days. In comparing the two Gospels, in both Gospels, we said that in the past and last week, in both Gospels, Jesus eats. He wants to be considered normal, right?
Like a
human being, a normal human being that comes back from the dead. But I think that the parallel between these two Gospels, I don't think I had ever seen this before.
Yeah. As we look at both last week and this week, and now we see it this week, a reminder of the importance of community and journeying together in kind of, you know, an Emmaus journey, whether that be with in one's church community and in a parish, in holy friendships, in family, but relationships that really are based on a search for God, a love of Jesus Christ, and then being witnesses and going out and into the world. So, yeah, I think beautiful opportunities here in this Easter season, especially today, confronting the Emmaus story of Emmaus walks with others, of our life with others in Jesus Christ.
I like that point a lot. But you know my obsessive personality. I'm still hung up on the how much this gospel looks like last Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the thing about the forgiveness and repentance, the forgiveness of sins and Jesus giving that authority? It's in both gospels also.
Yeah, yeah.
So
right
one sign of the resurrection will be that we'll be more forgiving people. Isn't that great?
Right. Interesting. Well, really good observation on that connection between last week's gospel and this one.
I thought it was only me.
Something to pray over.
Do you see how great my theme is for this Easter? A fresh start.
I think it's good.
No,
I think
fresh start for these disciples also.
I think it's very good. So this has been fun. We've been a little over the place today, but this is good. It's a beautiful gospel. And how about next week we'll get together and we'll keep going.
I want to remind our listeners, for whom we are very thankful, that that's one of the things we were looking for when we started this podcast, not to come with preconceived ideas and scripted and super prepared. We really let ourselves to be surprised by the gospel. I'm sure you take a look like I do, but I really come here open to see what you have to tell me, Philip.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's very, you're right, unscripted and just taking a fresh look at it.
And even if you are late when you tell me to be here earlier and then I kill myself making it on time, even when you don't answer my text, you are a very good presence in my life.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Same here as well. All right. Good. Next week.
See you next week, Philip.
This episode is brought to you by Hallo, the number one Catholic app. Hallo has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallo meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallo.com/breadbox.